back you did.
Absolutely, absolutely not. Didn't get worse. And you can do this at the low power setting up, Paul. So you expected that to get worse. It absolutely did not. It sounded almost the same. Over to you, Paul.
He's only hitting one, that I can tell, as far as the remote. Okay. Hi, Joe. I'll leave it like this. I'll have to look at my antenna. With all these winds over the last couple of weeks, that might have moved. I have a calibration dial here, so I'll just make sure it's pointing north. That's easy to do in the daytime. And then I'll just recalibrate it and make sure this is right. I might be off a little bit. Right now, it looks like I'm pointing a little too far north of west.
Just for the heck of it, Paul, try going in the other direction and tell me as you're doing it. Go ahead.
Okay, we're like 290, about 280. Goes pretty quick. 270 now. Now we're 270. And 265. How's that sound?
Yeah, that's definitely getting more noisy. So the higher numbers were better, Paul. And it wasn't quite as sensitive as I expected. And as Joe just brought to our attention, it's not a function of you aiming directly toward Glen Oaks. It's really a function of which of the remote base input receivers, the voting system, which one you're getting into, I guess, is what counts. So it looks to me like the 280 or the 290 are the best.
Okay, copy that. Very good. You know, I could always do is do this standby one. Now, I know this machine is good. And I'm actually pointing the wrong way. I'd have to turn this thing 180 degrees to really do it right. How's this thing?
Yeah, my guess is you're going through the Selden machine. And yes, that works very well. Of all the repairs that Eric did, he made sure he's got some good linking between Selden and Glen Oaks. And the Selden machine's working very well. So you sound very good through the Selden machine. I could hear you on the input on Selden there. Go ahead.
Okay, very good. Yeah, and this is low power, too, for Selden. So I don't need, and plus the antenna's facing toward you instead of out east. So I'm in a good location when everything's working. I can go one way or the other. No problem. Okay, that's a good experiment. I'll have to recalibrate this thing when I get a chance. Also, I have to fix my coax wire. You know, I come out of the antenna and around the rotator. I used to have a pretty good sized loop there. And then I taped it to the pipe, you know, heavy-duty black tape, a lot of it years ago. But it's managed to work its way through that. So as time went on, it got tighter and tighter. It's actually pulling the, you know, it's pretty taut. So I don't even like to spin the whole antenna around 180 degrees anymore until I can get up there and get the tape off and get some play out of that RG8U and redo it. Back to you, Dick.
Yeah, what I think you're saying is that the weight of the coax has slowly pulled the cable through your tape arrangement, and therefore the loop got shorter. Is that what you're saying, Paul? So there's not as much loop there anymore?
Exactly right. Exactly right. So I got to get up there and fix it. You know, it's just a mechanical thing to do. But it's got to be done. I like to every Thursday, point this thing toward Connecticut. They have a good simplex net, but I haven't been able to get on at all winter. I'm waiting for some decent weather. And where is the decent weather? This is all snow, ice for weeks on end here. We had a couple of good weeks there, January thaw, but this is not good antenna weather. WS20.
I do remember now that Howie had a question he wanted to ask us. WB2HWW, K K2LAW. Go ahead, Howie. And maybe Howie's going to sleep. It's late enough. Okay. I think we've done everything we intended to do tonight. I think we've run out of material. So I think we're going to end a little bit earlier. Nobody's got any further questions or comments on all of the above. We're going to end a little bit early. I'll stand by and see if anybody wants to give us their call letters and name. K2LAW listening.
Exchange channels here. How's this channel? Is this better?
It's sounding pretty good. A little bit of noise. I'm hearing you very well on the input, and I'm hearing you through the machine also. Go ahead.
One, two, three, four. Okay. Yeah, I'm going through. Yeah, I had a curiosity question, but from what I was listening for, when the guy said he was listening to the beacon, this was W4YY. When the guy was listening to that beacon, now that probably an analog TV channel up in Canada on 55239, but it should be actually 59240 or 250260, if I don't remember. My curiosity is this. If he's in the New York area and he's trying to listen to that frequency, don't really know how he does it, because there's an RF channel 2 operating out of New York, low power, but it's in digital mode. So each digital footprint would go from 54 to 60 continuously. Correct?
Yeah, that sounds correct. That sounds correct. That was W2 Lima Mike Mike. I looked him up on QRZ.com. I'm trying to find out right now where he's located. Okay, I've got to go back to where I was.
WB2HWW. I'm still here, Dick. You didn't give me a chance to get to the radio.
Okay, Dan, hearing you, Howie. Joe, to answer your question, Lou, W2L, Mike, Mike. He's located in Hopog. So from Hopog, aim toward Canada. Does he have enough directivity to reject the low power station you're talking about, which I guess is in New York City? Is that true, Joe? Go ahead.
Well, if someone's on the east side of Manhattan, I don't know. It's not on one of the 12 buildings. It's one of the lesser. It's one of the lesser high buildings. I think it's on the east side of Manhattan, someplace. Because I only see when the band opens up, and I think it's licensed as an LD station. But just had me kind of curious, because I mean, that puts out a digital footprint across the entire thing. That's got, I mean, even though you can't see it on here, I'm sure it's going to raise the noise floor compared to having nothing actually on the frequency.
But a digital station doesn't have anywhere near as strong a pilot-like signal as opposed to an analog station. Analog station is going to be putting out a very strong video carrier, I think, Joe. So maybe that can easily dominate, even though Toronto is a hell of a lot further away. Over to you, Joe.
Well, I understand that, but I mean, If there was nothing on the frequency and he's receiving the signal at about half a microvolt or 1 microvolt, and then you put this energy out of channel 2 in New York across the entire 54 to 60 megahertz, I would think that would give you a couple of microvolts of energy. Would you think it would sort of mask a weak signal?
Part of what counts here is he's using a three-element Yagi, which you can see on QRZ.com. So he's got some directivity there. He may have been using a very narrow band receiver. So he can pick out a particular frequency component and essentially ignore all of that boxed head zillions of carriers from the digital signal. So with a narrow enough receiver, he may be able to pick out the right component, Joe. Go ahead.
I'm not sure if I follow that completely. Doesn't that digital signal occupy every bit of that 6 megahertz, no matter what you're transmitting on the for the component?
Okay. Go ahead, Eric.
WKOB LD, low power digital, channel 2, 54 to 60. And let's see, effective radiated power is 300 watts. It is 274.9 meters above mean sea level and 265.5 meters above ground level. And it is owned by HC2LPTV Holdings, Inc. So, and it's licensed. And it's weak.
Everett, is their intended audience just essentially Manhattan Island and very short range around there? What's your guess as to their intended audience?
Well, it has no network affiliation. It's a low power station. Let's see if I can find out what building it's on. It's not that high, but it's, give me a minute and I'll tell you whether it's in Manhattan or nearby.
Yeah, I'm wondering how these low-power stations with very short range and therefore a very limited audience, how in the world do they finance themselves? How do they stay in the black?
I'll take, for example, WDVB. They transmit Indian and some Chinese stuff, and it's really intended for two very specific areas of audience, one being aimed at New Jersey, another one being aimed at a small amount in Queens.
Are they a foreign language station? By the way, I'm also seeing an analog station, Channel 17, WLIG, which I'm guessing LIG originally stood for Long Island Gospel. And are they, I think they're located in Plainview. Over to you, Eric.
Yeah, they are. They're analog, and I can't figure out why they're analog. And it looks like this station is on 48th Street and 1st Avenue. 48. So it's probably aimed at the UN. It's right on top of the UN.
So, they're transmitting from the top of the UN building, if I understand you correctly.
That's what the map says. It's, right there on the corner of the big UN building. Yep, it is. The coverage area is supposed to be, it goes as far as, at least the way the contour is, it goes as far as Morristown, New Jersey, New Brunswick, Red Bank, and it supposedly makes it out to Plainview, Huntington. Let's see, it's a little bit east of 135 at the end of their contour. So, and they get a bit of ocean. And it goes up into Yonkers, Stamford, Mount Pleasant, Spring Valley. I doubt anybody can pick it up out there, but that's what the contour looks like.
I'm guessing they're not very strong in Huntington because last week I did a brand new search, and my search system inside of my television set did not find a channel 2.
They're RF 2, but they're digital 42.
And now you're asking me, did I find a 42? I don't think I did. 47, yes. 41, yes. But I don't think I found a 42. Or did I? Now I'm not sure. I gotta go check on that.
Okay. Here's a little more information. WKOVLD is low power TV station, New York City, licensed and owned by HC2 Holdings. The station was signed over on UHF 53 in the 70s. Its original owner was CBS at W53AA. It was a multiple television broadcast translator in New York City, which operated at the upper end of the UHF band to provide reliable coverage to certain New York boroughs whose reception will ultimately compromise by the... Oh, yeah, I know what this is. Construction of the World Trade Center. The translator station relayed CBS for decades prior to the time that it operated on VHF Channel 2. So, interesting. As you know, when they were building the World Trade Center, it just did nothing but made ghosts for people up north.
Joe, Channel 42, what kind of programming do they have? Maybe I'll recognize it that way. Over to you, Joe.
It's a Holy Roller station.
Don't think I'm getting a Holy Roller station. Okay. What website or URL were you just reading now, Eric? KT2EJ, KT2IW?
I looked them up on the FCC, and then I did a Google search for WKOB LD. Wikipedia has an entry. HD2 Holdings, I know them. They bought a lot of power stations with the hope of selling those frequencies. That all doesn't make sense in New York, but they did a lot of other things. But its virtual channel is 42. Let's see. What else can we find? Anyway, look for WKOB, LD, and there's a whole lot of entries here. Let's see what Wikipedia says, anyway.
So WKOB, this Whiskey Kilowatt Lima Bravo.
Whiskey Kilowatt Ocean Bravo. There's a lot of stuff. So what's the current thing? Okay. It's got 42-1 through 42-8. It's got Daystar, it's religious. Daystar Television, Peace, Guide US TV, Sun Life Broadcasting Network, My Kaiser, and that's Spanish, Gun TV, and On TV for You, whatever they are. Wikipedia is the way to go. It gives you the whole history.
Eric, my original question while you're asking this was that the other guy that was on here before said he was listening to the analog TV channel up in Canada producing a beacon, or he was listening to the video carrier on 5524 or 5529. And my thought was, wouldn't this digital channel tend to mask that out quite a bit, even though it's not a viewable picture out here, it's still producing a couple of microvolts of energy out in Hopog.
Now let's put it this way. You know, ask me that again because I'm not sure what I heard.
Okay. There was a guy in here before, I forget his call, W2LMM, I think it was. And he said he's listening to a Canadian television station. He uses a beacon to tell him when 6 meters to start opening, which is a pretty smart thing to do. And he's listening to 55.239. I think it's really supposed to be 59, probably .24, because I think the channel's usually with .24, 25, or 26. Okay, got that so far? And my thought, I didn't ask it back then when he was talking. I was just thinking about it now, and Dick says, you know, any other questions? Well, if he's listening on 55.240, call it that. And you got this channel from New York occupying a digital channel, 54 to 60. Isn't that channel putting out energy across the entire 6 megahertz? So even if this guy's trying to listen to a weak signal, wouldn't the thing from the city sort of try to mask it out a little bit? Don't you think?
Okay. Since this is a low power station, it's only 300 watts. Not spitting a lot of energy yet. Now, the nature of digital television, when you look at it, it's noise. It just looks like impulse noise. So if there's an analog signal there, chances are it's going to cut through it. The interesting thing is 1.25 up from 54 is where the video carrier would be, and 4.5 up will be where the sound carrier is, if it's analog. And by the way, I can't figure out how 17 is still analog. There's not supposed to be any analog in this country anymore.
I've never seen that channel from Plainview. I've only seen there's a digital 17 out of New York, but no, I've never seen one analog from Plainview.
That's here. I'm in Plainview and it's freaking weak. It's, you know, it's snowbound, so I think it's something that somebody forgot about.
Okay, well, Howie had a question there. I just put my two cents in before about asking questions, so I'll give him another half, the last half hour of the net here.
And Howie, what the heck happened to your repeater?
WB2HWW, K2RIW in the group. Go ahead, Howie.
WB2HWW. Alright, now I'm tramping. I gotta find a button out here on Echo Link. Eric, here, two things. One, I'm taking a break from the hobby. Maybe they'll get it backed up. Lost the IPA. If I don't put something up, somebody will steal the frequency one of these days. I gotta get the whole system backed up. Okay, here's the question very quickly. I've been reading about this wireless power, okay? Like the old days, Tesla thought he could transmit power. There's a couple of companies. I don't know if they're fraud or whatever. They're claiming they get technology that within the next couple of years, they will be able to transmit power around the city or around the country wirelessly. Or you will be able to walk to your house and have a device work without no problem. I understand how induction works or how or wireless charging from your cell phone, that you hold it up near an induction coil. But these people are talking about transmitting real power. They say you can run your washing machine, your toaster, or your blender, and, you know, they're doing all of this stuff. Do you think it's possible? Because I look at it and say, the amount of power you would have to transmit to be able to radiate a signal from point A to point B. I know back in the 70s they were flung around with microwave transmission. The government was thinking about putting solar panels in space and using a tight beam to send down power. But this here is a technology, I can give you the stock symbol. It's WATT. If you put in the symbol WATT and come up with this company and read all the hype about it, I think it's more hype than anything else. Back to you, Dick.
WS2N, I read all about that. WS2N.
Based on Tesla Lighter.
Okay, tell us your impression of that, Paul. WS2N, K2RIW.
Yeah, I was going to save it for April 1st. I made a copy of the picture of the crystals. They have a... The theory is they're going to transmit power, like he says, using crystals, piezoelectric. In fact, crystals in a box are just going to... You're going to magically hook this power up. It's going to transmit through there. It's going to go all through your house. It's going to... Like he says, eventually power your washing machine. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it's got to be the biggest scam I've ever read about. It. If it was true, I'd be shocked. Back to you, Dick.
If they're attempting to transmit microwatts and milliwatts and very slowly charge some kind of a very low power object like a wristwatch or a liquid crystal display device of some kind, I could half believe it. But to transmit energy to charge batteries and run a cell phone at anything more than a foot away is very difficult. Lots of people have been proposing to do this over the years. And if you get the decimal places, many decimal places wrong, you might be able to convince yourself on paper you can do this. And you go and try it out, you're going to get a huge disappointment. So transmitting power to anything more than a couple of feet is essentially out of the question as I see it. Yes, those solar power satellites where you've got a couple of square miles of antenna transmitting a beam down to Earth and you've got a couple of acres worth of rectifier antennas on the Earth to pick up the signal. almost doable, but you'd never be able to make it profitable as I see it. So I think it's either some people who are creating an intentional hoax or people who have talked themselves into something that's way beyond the normal laws of physics. So the chances of it being real, Howie, I'm with you. I think it's very close to zero. WB2HWW, K2LAW.
I agree with you. Look it up. I think it's a Stockport scam. They're claiming they're going to be able to run they're claiming that companies like Apple and everybody else, they're also saying this company got FCC approval to be able to send power through the air. And I'm saying, even if you were able to do it, I mean, the amount of energy that you would have to transmit through the air would basically bring you way above the OSHA and the FCC exposure requirements of the amount of power you could have per square centimeter. So I agree with you. Thank you for saying that to me, but that's exactly what I thought, and I did some off the back of the envelope, and I said, this is a fraud. You know, they're trying to, I said, these guys are trying to separate your money, get you to buy a stock, almost like a pump and dump scheme. And yeah, Eric, one of these days I got to get the I got to get the machine back up. But I basically taking a break from radio for a while. Thank you for asking, and I've been listening. And whatever you did to VL, you really fixed it. The audio sounds good, echolink sounds good. So I must say, my hat's off to the technical community and to you, Eric. Back to you, Dick K2RIW, WB2HWW. So, yeah, because I can't see how they're talking about it. Now, I did call the company, and they're claiming they're using special rectifier circuits, special technology, and special ICs. So, it's hard to believe. I mean, even if you got very efficient Schottky rectifiers, and you got tuned circuits, and they're claiming they're using a frequency of 923 megahertz. And I'm saying, okay, is that the best frequency to use to do this? I mean, I can see you do magnetic charging, like you lay your cell phone on a table at Starbucks, or they got these charging pads. Yeah, I can see that. That's been around for whatever, for eons. That's just, I remember the day when they had these toothbrushes that would charge. And all that was a coil in the bottom of the toothbrush that would, you know, that would make a transformer. So, you know, I thought that's all this could be. Now, I mean, the amount of magnetic power you would need would be off the wall. Over to you, Dick. K2RIW, WB2HWW.
Any comments about that?
You got it, Eric.
I think it was 10 years ago or 15 years ago, somebody at NASA proposed a device that collected energy from the sun, and they would distribute that power by sending it down by a microwave. So, oh, by the way, Howie, if you're interested, I could put a repeater on right away, because I lost mine because of the wonderful coordinating committee that we have. And I could put something up temporarily if you'd wanted to do that. So, over to you, Dick. K2RIW, K2J.
Now, you might want to respond to that, Howie. So go ahead, Howie.
Give me a call, Eric. You never know, it may come up. If not, we can talk. And I didn't know that you lost your frequency. How could you lose your frequency? You were there forever. I don't remember the frequency, but you were on, I think you were high and low. You were low and high out, so how can you lose it? I better worry. Somebody can take the frequency. You know what? If it happens, I won't be so upset. All the stuff is still up on the roof. I gotta get an IPA. I'll tell you what, excited for the Master 2. It's down. Plus everything else is down. 6 is down. Whatever. But if you want to, give me a phone call, Eric. And we can talk. So, Dick, you have any more comments on this subject of transmitting power? Just go on Google, put in WATT, stock WATT, it'll come up. They're trading transmitting at $20. This company, and along a bunch of newsletters, have been saying, within the next 10 years, you won't have any more power lines. I'm saying, okay, guys, who are you trying to force here?
It sounds to me, Howie, these guys are fib merchants. They're selling something that doesn't exist. Not a chance in the world. Replace the power lines. Come on. Wow. What are they smoking? Out of the question.
WS2N1, more comment on that?
You got it, Paul.
Yeah, like how he says that they would list all these different people that are behind it. And I was going down the list, you know, some of them I recognized, some of them I didn't. But when they got to Elon Musk, there's no way in the world Elon Musk is going to back this. I mean, you got to see the crystals. They have pictures of these crystals. It looked like they took a picture out of one of the Superman shows, you know, where the old crystals are up in the North Pole somewhere. And they shrunk the picture. Here's what we're going to transmit out of it. They're saying it's quartz crystals. It's just like it's the piezoelectric effect. And they try to explain, look, you know, this piezoelectric effect has been around for years. And we're just going to, you know, hook this up. And it's really a joke. That's why I said I was going to save it for April Fool's Day. Back to you, Dick.
By the way, Nick, WLIG is actually on WLMY's building. It's the corner of Wallam Road and the South Service Road. It's in the same building as FedEx. So they're in the FedEx building. Is that a high piece of land, Eric? Really, it's actually Melville. It's not Plainview. You know where Foliage Farms used to be? They built the Cannon. You know, when you drive by on the expressway, you'll see Cannon has a big facility there. The actual transmitter, I'm looking at this map, and it doesn't look quite right. No, it's just a little past Broad Hollow Road. Yeah, it is that. It's the WLIG where they're right. It's the FedEx building. It's WLIG, you know, 1055. Still has a studio there, but, you know, when the guy sold it for a number of millions of dollars to CBS, I guess they kept it, but it's still licensed. Is there a relationship between the Frolic Farm and a street called Frolic Farm Road? Eric, go ahead. Old man Follett used to have a lot of different areas, so he wasn't particularly in one place. Before they built Cannon, they used to grow pumpkins there, and they would have the come pick your own. And where's the nearest major street that I would recognize? The Long Island Expressway. It's actually on the South Service Road. It's about a quarter of a mile west of 110. Okay. And like you said, the delivery service is there. And I think I went there once. So I didn't think that was a very tall building that you could put a transmitter on. Is there a tower of some kind there, do you know of, Eric?
I've always noticed the antenna. The building's not very tall. I mean, I take care of a station out in Waynescott, and he's lucky if he gets like a mile away from it. He's got a small antenna. He just does it to keep the license, and it gets him on cable.
Oh. Interesting. Okay. Anybody got any further questions, comments, anything they want to talk about? Give me a call
at KQRIW. Hey, W, it's Wario. I'll give you something else you can talk about. I'm sure you've seen these ads for these, what do they call these, TV keys. They call that the trick name they call these things, which looks like a quarter-wave antenna mounted onto a piece of plastic that goes in the back of your television set. And you put this thing in the back of your TV set and it gets all these wonderful channels. Well, I tried that kind of experiment using a simple rubber duck, even though it's a, whatever the impedance is or whatever. And I turned off the back of one of my converters in my house. You know how many TV channels I got using that method? The answer is one.
And that one channel was on Long Island.
It was channel RF-47, digital 55. That's right. Couldn't see anything else whatsoever. Not even the other one that's at Middle Island on RF-23. Couldn't get that one. Only got the one from WLAG or something like that, or whatever they call it. That's all I could pick up, so, you know, because I know, I think Rich Antuio was asking about putting up something to be able to get, you know, outside TV reception, and I don't know if that came up in a discussion, like putting one of these things on the back of your TV set. I mean, for what they sell on these things for on TV, the people are making a huge amount of money, and the thing probably doesn't work at all. So you want to call a scam, there you go.
What's the selling price for that thing, Joe, go ahead.
I've seen the advertised on TV for $19.95. I think I've seen the same thing if you go on Google and put in, like, yeah, TVT. I think I've seen it as cheap as $9.95 from Walmart. But when you really look at the thing, it looks like a plastic panel with must be a single wire connector going up the plastic panel to make, probably make it look cute. And that's all the thing probably really is in reality. I don't think it's anything special. What do you think?
Tell me the approximate dimensions of this thing. And when you say plastic panel, do you mean it's a printed circuit board? Is it really clear? What do you think is the dimensions? From the picture they give you, is there anything alongside you can use as a reference to figure out, is the thing a foot square or is it 5 inches square?
Oh, no. Not at all. It's like 5 or 6 inches long, maybe a little longer, maybe 7 inches long. Not more than about an inch or two wide. When you get your internet back up, just go on Google and put in TV key, and I'm sure you can find loads of these things, and you should be able to, you know, zoom in on a picture of one of these things or what they are. It looks to me just something like a simple quarter wave antenna that goes in the back of your television receiver.
Okay, phonetically tell me what to look up for. TVG is what it sounded like you said. Now, go ahead.
Yeah, the letters TV space K-E-Y. TV key.
Okay, I'll take a look at that. Sounds crazy.
I mean, think about it, it's really a matter of reality. If they could possibly, somebody could possibly believe that you're going to get any kind of distance at all or something like that simply goes in the back of your TV set, trying to receive signals that are 400 to 500, 600 megahertz in frequency at any kind of distance at all. And some of you would believe you're going to get, they think you're going to get stuff to see this city out here at 40, 50 miles away. I don't know. It just seems like, you know, somebody comes up with a good idea, and the way they show this thing, well, the guy's out on his boat, I think, the way the one commercial goes. So out on the boat, he's got line of sight to, you know, one or two or three transmitters out over the water, so obviously he's got very low path loss.
And this thing has nothing but a F connector cable coming out of it. It's got no B plus input, no preamplifier, nothing along those lines.
Not that I remember seeing. That's all it simply is. It goes right on the back of your TV set. So yes, it's an F59 male type of connector that goes into the back of your TV set or converter. And there you go. They illustrate it going in the back of your, like your wall mount TV type of thing.
What they're selling, Joe, is hope. They're selling hope.
Oh, is that what they're selling?
AC2GS?
Go right ahead, Roy.
It's not really about the topic that's being discussed right now, but I looked up this strange wireless energy. And they're probably crazy and thieves, but they're not that crazy and not quite that much thieves. The refrigerator and such are not being wirelessly powered. The refrigerators are the wired-in transmitter transmitting the wireless power to little things like cell phones. So they're taking baby steps. It's still probably impossible, but it's not quite as insane as it initially sounds.
Now, the refrigerator is receiving line power from Con Ed some major power company. That, in turn, is what? Sending out a radio signal that charges a cell phone? Is that what you're saying, Roy? Go ahead.
That's their pitch, that these appliances are not receiving wireless power. They're transmitting locally wireless power. They say they have something that works an entire 15 centimeters away from each other, and they're working on 15 feet away, but they haven't demonstrated that. So, again, it's not completely incredibly insane. It's just moderately insane.
And the bottom line intention here is to what? Charge your cell phone in a wireless manner? In other words, you don't want to run a cable to your cell phone anymore? To a wall wart?
Well, yeah, but I mean, they have wireless chargers already. My Apple iPhone has a charger, so I just have to put it on the base. I don't have to plug it into anything, and it inductively couples and powers it. So it's not that incredible, but the concept, I think, is that you don't have to put it anyplace. You just walk around with your cell phone and your other little devices, and if you put it close enough to your refrigerator, it'll charge it.
Okay. How expensive would you buy it?
They have no price for it, and I don't believe it's technologically quite feasible, so I probably wouldn't pay anything for it.
The last I heard, I guess it was Nor'easter number 3 had done some damage to your antennas. Have you had a chance to assess what condition they're in, Roy?
Yes, I have. Fortunately, I have a neighbor who lives in a co-op, which is much higher than my house, so he was able to take pictures that I was able to look at. It was kind of like a bowling alley up there. What happened is I have a fan dipole, and on top of the fan dipole, it's on a mast on the roof. On top of that, I have a GP6 UHF VHF antenna. So apparently what happened is the ice such got onto the fan dipole, made it heavier and heavier until it gave way from the guy ropes, swung down, and basically bent it in half. And on the way down, it clipped a vertical 10-meter antenna that I had, and it's now in an arc. It's going at a semicircle.
And when you tested it, was there any change to the standing wave ratio?
Yeah, the standing wave ratios were all changed. I have a PALSTAR tuner that can tune a doorknob, so I was able to tune it, but I wouldn't want to put any power through any of that stuff.
What brand of doorknob can you charge, Roy? That's a bit of a joke.
Yes, but you and I have all heard stories of people who tuned something up and they were worried that they didn't kind of get out very well, and then they realized that they were tuning up a coaxial cable. It wasn't even attached to a radiator. So it's amazing what you can do with impedance matching. A lot of people think that standing wave ratio is the ultimate thing, but it ain't.
Yep. Almost any piece of metal, or interruption of a piece of metal, a slot in the sheet metal on your automobile between the fender and the rest of the car. If you're smart enough, you'd be amazed how innocent-looking things can be converted into an antenna at a VHF, UHF frequency. Over to you, Roy.
Well, what I found fascinating is the concept of of a reverse antenna, where you cut out a piece of the sheet metal, and it produces a kind of negative image of a radiating antenna. I find that amusing.
Yeah, that's a very respected antenna concept called Babnitz Rule. Most antennas consist of a chunk of metal in free space. And if you start off with a sheet of metal that represents free space and an interruption that represents the antenna, you get the exact same gain, the exact same antenna pattern, just that vertical polarization becomes horizontal polarization. But the Babnitz Rule says that of all the antennas you know, there is a inverse antenna equivalent by Babnitz Rule. So what I've been saying, there's 5,000 kinds of antennas. When you include Babnitz Rule, there might really be 10,000. Over to you, Roy, K2RIW.
What I love about that is it gives you a beautiful picture of a concept of symmetry. And again, it's one of those words that I keep using on the radio, because it explains to a degree why so many things work. The conservation of energy and momentum and all these things are actually a type of symmetry that exists. And so having the antenna as an example, you get a sense for what symmetry might mean.
One of the puzzles that I remember reading out of Thinking Physics is that the whole universe consists of empty space with some massive objects, and there's gravity between the objects. They attract each other. If all of space consisted of a massive fluid with occasional great big bubbles in the fluid, and two bubbles are side by side, and the normal laws of gravity are in effect. So this is an inverse universe. Would those two bubbles attract each other or repel each other? What's your guess on that one, Roy? AC2GS, K2IW.
Got 4 minutes left.
I remember that in the book. I don't remember the answer, but I would assume that they attract each other. It's another wonderful example of symmetry.
That's exactly right. They attract each other. This was technique number 1691. That was space and science. That was a science and physics report number 21. That was space report number 291. 73, you all. Be kind to each other. And Roy and Paul, in that order, thank you. And say your final comments. You got it, Roy.
Hey, Doc, this is Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra. Once again, the email address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. If you didn't like my subjects, please offer your own subjects. I'm flexible. And thank you for the opportunity, Dick, and thank you as well, Paul.
Very good, and we'll be back next week. What we didn't mention was Stephen Hawking passed away. He was one of the most famous people in science, so we have to mention him. Just the repeater has been down. I haven't heard anybody talk about him. I haven't been on that much. But very good, and we'll be back next week. And Roy, I'm going to try to send you something, a topic on you take a sphere like the Earth, and when it turns, it rotates gravity somehow. It twists the space-time continuum. We got to dream up something about that. 73, WS2N, will be clear.
K2EJ, K2EJ, and good night, Dick. Good night, everybody. K2EJ, WB2H.
The time is 12:04 a.m. 73. and good night from the W2VL repeater. Welcome to the W2VL repeater. Net tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL amateur radio repeater system.
Thank you for visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
W2VL repeater system. Welcome to the W2VL repeater. W2VL amateur radio repeater system. Net tonight at 8:30 W2VL repeater system.
K2REY, I'm on the frequency looking for a signal report from any station. Kilo 2, Romeo Echo Yankee is my call.
Net tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater.
K2REY, I'm QSY.
At 8:30, this is the W2VL amateur radio repeater system.
YHY WB2CMF.
Good morning. Good morning, Pat. I was
trying to contact Rich. I got something to drop off for him. But he may not be up yet.
It's a little early. I see you on 440, but